Hi everyone, this is Lauren Winans, and you're tuned in to Blitzburg Radio, presented by my favorite Steeler site, SteelerAddicts.com. Be sure and check out my latest single and website, LaurenWinans.com. And now, on with the show. Here are your hosts, Blitzburg Rock City and Steel Dad.
Everyone, welcome to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com. My name is Matt. That is Mark. What's happening, man?
I don't know. Looking for a defensive group of playmakers to maybe hold the opponent to less than 34 points. That's what I'm doing.
Maybe we should put a disclaimer on this show that it might be not quite so PG-rated as we normally keep it. We'll try not to go over the top, but after that loss yesterday, everybody's pretty salty. The forums are going nuts. Everybody's pissed off. I know. I was just livid last night after they blew that 10-point lead. I know you and I were texting. We were just all going off on each other. So, yeah, it should be rather interesting, to say the least.
It is. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to discuss and debate, and it's been nonstop all day. And I mean, that's just the passion of Steeler fans, and I'm certainly not suggesting that other fans don't have passionate fan bases. I know they do, but, you know, when it's after week three and you have people like myself who are very, very, very concerned about the direction of this team and especially the defense, it's warranted, to say the least. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's maybe get the good stuff out of the way, because there isn't a whole lot to talk about with that. When that was that Ben had himself a stellar day. The offense moved the ball well. They were scoring touchdowns. Heath Miller was involved. Mike Wallace was involved. Antonio Brown, who fumbled. Thank you very much. We'll get to that later. But, yeah, overall, the offense through the air was very good. I mean, now in the fourth quarter, you know, they couldn't run the ball and they couldn't keep the Raiders' defense out of the backfield. So, you know, ultimately they couldn't score again when they needed to. But I would say the Steeler offense is definitely moving in the right direction, at least through the air.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what, I love this offense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I love when we can run the ball and pound the ball, too. But we just have too many weapons to put six tight ends in there and try to keep running the ball to no avail. You saw yesterday what I think we've seen glimpses of the first 2 weeks, and that's the fact that Ben knows where he's going with the ball. He's doing much better on his pre-snap reads. His progressions are better. You know, he had the one touchdown to Wallace where he scrambled, and I mean, you could see his head whipping just, you know, one, two, three, four. I mean, he knew exactly where his guys were, and quite frankly, I think he could have hit any four for a score. But, you know, be that as it may, he's playing very well right now. I mean, he's leading the league, or he's in the top two or three right now in a number of categories. You know, and another thing, too, we are eating up clock with this offense. We've had time of possession advantages in all three games. We're wearing down the other team's defense. And for anybody that suggests, and I know we're getting there, and I'm not going to go there yet, but that our defense, you know, I mean, they should be plenty rested through these games, because they're sitting on the sidelines while our offense dinks it and dunks it down the field to 6-7 points. So I love where the offense is going. Do we have to improve the run? Of course we do. We all know that the offense has got to decide, is it Isaac Redman? Is it John Dwyer? Is it Baron Batch? I mean, we saw everybody yesterday. I think Sidney Thornton was pulled out of the stands at one point. That tells me this is a team and a coaching staff that just isn't sure who the main running back is right now. And until we find that out, it's probably going to be by committee, and it's not going to be real consistent.
No, it's not at all. Here, I got the stats up of the Steelers' offense so far this year through three games. It's actually pretty amazing. Ben is 82 of 120 for 904 yards, 8 TDs, and 1 pick. His rating is 109.2. So he's almost at 1,000 yards through three games, which is pretty just incredible for any Steelers quarterback. Wallace has 17 catches for 234 yards and 3 touchdowns. Heath Miller has 15 catches for 129 yards and 4 touchdowns. Antonio Brown has 18 for 240 and 1 touchdown. Sanders is 10 for 21. Redmond 6 for 45. The list goes on and on. Ben is spreading it around. He's hitting 8 to 10 receivers or more every single game. I mean, if you want to talk about an offense that spreads the wealth with a plethora of weapons, that's what this group is right now. And you know, you put an article up on the homepage that went up this afternoon talking about this is a passing offense. And, you know, right now, this obviously the running game is not going at all. I mean, Redmond has 72 yards on the season. Dwyer has 70 yards on the season. Then you've got Rainey with 15 yards. And you've got Baron Batch with 12 yards and blah, blah, blah. The rest goes down with just a couple of yards here and there. So they can't run the ball. We're not going to harp on the offensive line too much. I mean, Gilbert went out again. The guy was hurt. He was in and out. Beecham was pathetic. He was just beyond terrible.
Oh, my God.
I think he was in for like less than a couple of series, and then Tomlin yanked him back out and got Gilbert in there, who ended up leaving before the game was over again. So, can blame the offensive line all you want. I get that part of it. But the running game stinks. The passing game right now is just flat out awesome. But, you know, it's funny. When Ben throws for all those yards, Pittsburgh just does not normally win. It's just it's a pattern that's been back in the day since Tommy Maddox and, you know, God knows who else, that when Pittsburgh throws for 300, 400 yards in a game, they don't win a whole lot of the time. Now, maybe that trend's going to change now as they get more used to this new offense and they get more comfortable. You know, maybe they will start winning. Of course, Ben had a good game against the Jets through the air. Running game was somewhat marginally better, but hardly anything to write home about. But yeah, dude, I'm telling you, I mean, these guys are just incredible.
Well, you know, he had I think he hit 10 different receivers last week. He hit 10 different receivers in the first half yesterday.
Yep.
That's what this offense is. And you know, I mean, we can debate ad nauseum whether this was Art Rooney 2 coming in and saying we need to run the ball and Ben has to tweak his game. You know what, if this is Ben tweaking his game, I'll take it.
Uh-huh.
He's just been really, really good. He's obviously, I think our collective hearts were in our throat when he went down on that cheap shot. Which,
oh yeah.
Who knows if that's even going to get fined? But you know, another thing to think about too, and you mentioned going back to the days of Tommy Maddox when you know we wouldn't have been winning these types of games. You know, if we threw for 300 or 400 yards, that meant we probably lost. To me, the difference is the ability to score in the red zone. I mean, Heath Miller, you know, I go back to it. I remember it like it was 2 seconds ago when Todd Haley did his opening press conference as the new OC. You know, he talked about, my God, I love this Heath Miller guy. What a tight end. What a guy. And then he didn't hear much of him. But it's obvious he likes the skill set that Miller's got. And now here he is, 4 TD receptions in 3 games. He's having a phenomenal year, and we're scoring in the red zone. And that's a big difference because, let's face it, I think if that was Arians yesterday calling the plays, we'd probably kick 6 or 7 field goals. and it's a blowout, you know, because we just weren't able to execute and come up with what we needed to in the red zone, but we are now. So, got to like the direction the offense is going. And like you said, I mean, the running game, I don't know. A lot of questions I have about it, both in the offensive line and just in the design in general. But I guess Ben's just going to have to rub some Ben Gay on the arm and get it ready for the next 12 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, the Steelers have their bye week coming up. So, you know, as much as I hate the early byes, it always seems to come in a good time. So, you know, I guess the football gods smile on us some way. I guess they know something we don't know about who's going to get hurt. But, you know, before we get to the defense there, just a couple more things about the offense. There was some buzz today about Ben talking to the media after the game yesterday, saying how he was calling some plays that weren't in the playbook. I don't know if you saw that or not. And I think there were some people who were going off on it and, you know, telling Ben, you know, stop talking to the media about this and that. But, yeah, I saw the video clip and then, of course, I read it and it didn't come off to me in any way that he was taking a cheap shot at Haley. It was just more of, you know, he was just kind of talking in passing about how this offense is firing on all cylinders to the degree that they can call plays that they haven't even used this year yet. And the guys that have been there before, which is the majority of them last year, know what the play is and they can execute it. And, you know, for the most part, obviously the offense worked. They were running the no huddle. Things were going well. But I thought it was kind of interesting how he mentioned that. You know, I don't know that maybe him and Haley will have a talk this week about, dude, what the hell are you doing? But, I mean, you know, depending on when he called him and what the situation was, I mean, you know, as long as it doesn't get to the point where, you know, it becomes a distraction, then, you know, I don't really see a big deal with it. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
I'm the same way. I think if I recall, going back when they were in some of the mini camps, OTAs type stuff, I could be wrong here, but I thought they talked about the fact that some of the offense was going to kind of remain the way it was in terms of some of the sets and plays that were going to be left behind. So I wasn't nearly as alarmed by that. You know, I mean, obviously when you're trying to win a game or you're in a situation where you got to get up to the line and call a play, you know, you're going to do what's familiar. Now, did every guy, did all 10 other guys get the translation? Well, they must have. So that tells me this isn't that big a deal. And again, if the offense was struggling here, I think this would probably be maybe even a bigger headline than the defense. So I'm not concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm not either. I just thought it was something interesting to point out today. I mean, obviously, the day after the game, there's all kinds of things that come out about what they said and who said what to who and whatnot. So, yeah, I think, you know, we're not going to focus too much on the offense because there really wasn't that many issues with it. I mean, and Antonio Brown's fumbles were just ridiculous. The one in the end zone, thank God he was able to recover it. Basically, he just took a favorable bounce among the plethora of bodies on the ground. So he was able to recover it, so that wasn't the end of the world. But that fumble when he was streaking down the middle, you can't have that. I love the guy's heart. I mean, it's hard to blame him for wanting to do more, you know, especially, you know, when you realize the game's maybe a little bit tighter than what you thought it would be or you hoped it would be. But man, sometimes you just got to get down, dude.
Yeah, it's hard to fault the guy's effort. I never want to do that, but you really could see it on the second fumble. You could just see it coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ball was out there. There's guys from behind, guys from his right, guys from his left. He's not quite on balance. I mean, you could just kind of see it coming. And I was more shocked by the fact it happened again because it had happened earlier in the game. I figured him, the way he is, he's so conscientious of that type of thing. Figured he would have had two hands on the ball, kind of like a fullback breaking through the line. But it wasn't to be, and, you know, I can only assume what we would have done. But, boy, I sure think we were going to go right down the field and score, at least get three there. And, again, it only resulted in three for Oakland, but still it turned out to be a pretty big three.
Yeah, that three was obviously the ultimate deciding factor when they were able to, boot their way to the win late in the game. But, it's whatever. Maybe they would have won, maybe they wouldn't have, but the game shouldn't have been that close. There's no excuse to allow the Raiders, an inferior team, to be, and honestly, in my mind, an inferior team, talent-wise, coaching-wise, everything, to be in the game like that. But, hey, credit them. They wanted it more than apparently we did, but let's move on to the really good stuff, which was the collapse of the defense. Last night I was sitting there after the game. I was listening to Cooler Talk on the radio. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what in the world am I going to write about that I can actually put up that won't be filled with curse words? I'm just sitting there thinking, I'm writing and I'm thinking, well, I can't say that. Well, I can't say this. I mean, I can, but then it's not going to come over too well. So I had to take like an hour to cool off before I wrote that piece last night about the defense crumbling and whatnot, but it was just bad, dude. I mean, right, there's no pass rush, the secondary can't cover, the linebackers are just really not that good. Casey Hampton showing his age a little bit there on that one long touchdown play by McFadden. I mean, you can kind of pick your poison with this team right now. Blame it on Polamalu, blame it on Harrison not being there. I'm not going to say that that's the reason they lost, but there's so many ways you can go with it. Just pick something, dude.
You're right. I mean, where do you go? Where do you start? And a lot of discussion today about, is it player execution or is it the scheme? And I think the safe answer is it's both. Okay. I think, Dick LeBeau, who, let's be very honest, you and I both think very highly of him, as a player, a guy, a coach. But I think what's happening is we are recognizing more and more that the LeBeau 3-4 defense has to have superstars at key positions. If it doesn't, it is ordinary. It's actually below ordinary. It's actually a bad defense because those corners play off so far And if there's no pressure, then they're going to complete, just as Carson Palmer did, those outs and those little choice routes all day because we are so far off. And it drives you crazy and it drives me crazy. And it seems like, I can't tell you how many of the same blitzes I saw yesterday when he did blitz, and other blitzes already in this season. I saw no creativity, no corners. Where on earth was Cortez Allen? I mean, he looked so good in the preseason coming off the edge. I saw no sign of that. And I know that he would tell me, well, it's part of the scheme. You know, Troy wasn't in, so we had to do this, we had to do that. You know, I would rather go down swinging. I mean, I'd rather get burned on a couple of big plays, and at least I'm trying to get to Carson Palmer. I mean, to just sit there and let him pick us apart and watch Larry Foote get spun around in circles by a tight end coming out of the backfield there. I mean, it just was bad. And Lawrence Timmons, why is Lawrence Timmons 15, 20 yards downfield covering in over his zone? I mean, he's probably one of our better blitzers. I just don't understand what the direction is right now. I don't know if this is all LeBeau, if Tomlin's got his hands on this. But we are not that good. And, yes, Troy Polamalu and or James Harrison would have made a difference yesterday. There's no doubt about it. They would have. Would we have still won the game? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that. But I do know that something needs to happen here over the course of the next 2 weeks to get this team back to playing defense the way that it's supposed to.
Well, they got to about 2 weeks now to figure it out, and you mentioned that about the LeBeau defense needing superstars, and I was reading on the forums today one of our friends on Twitter, Joe Steeler fan, who mm-hmm. I'm trying to get on the podcast here soon, but we can't seem to get our schedules to match up. But he wrote a piece about pretty much mostly on the defense and whatnot, and he outlined a lot of key players that are big Steeler fan heroes, for lack of a better term, who are just not playing well right now. Kiesel and that horrible encroachment call yesterday. Oh. You've got Ziggy Hood, who's non-existent in any type of run support. Hampton getting a little bit better throughout, and over these next three games. He's got to get his stamina back. There's just no two ways about it. But where is Steve McClendon? Where is Cam Hayward? Where are all these first-round picks that you guys are talking about that are so good? I mean, are they really that much worse than what Kiesel is right now, or that much worse than what Hood is? I mean, certainly not what Hood is playing with right now. Credit the Raiders, they ran a lot of hurry-up offense, kept the base defense on the field, so Cam was nowhere to be found. McClendon was nowhere to be found. Timmons is running all over creation, covering people instead of trying to get after the quarterback. Woodley's double-teamed. Chris Carter and Jason Worlds can't do anything. I mean, I think Worlds had the one sack against Manning, when he came off the corner in week one, pretty much untouched. It was an easy sack. But mm-hmm. some of the local media were tweeting today that Worlds needs to get a shot full-time, but in spot duty, I don't see him doing all that much better than Chris Carter unless you're watching something different than I am, dude. But this team right now is just there's so many things that are not working. And, I have an article to go up either tomorrow or Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm not sure which yet on that exact topic of is it scheme or is it players. And, not to give too much away, but there's a lot of people that are just not playing well. And you're right, LeBeau's defense, I'm sitting here looking at in my room, my Steelers room. I've got a poster of LeVon Kirkland and a poster of Greg Lloyd staring right at me right now. And, guys like that played with emotion, that were superstars, Joey Porter, and you got you can go on down the list of anybody you want on the Steelers defensive line, Aaron Smith, Troy Polamalu when he's healthy, guys like that who are just phenomenal players when they're healthy and when they're in their prime, which most of them are not anymore, that are currently on there. I mean, these guys, his defense takes such precise execution that when you have guys who just aren't that good, you stink. And right now, the Steelers defense, I'm not going to jump off a bridge, not throwing in my terrible towel, but right now our defense stinks.
It does, and I think you were getting to a great point there, talking about your shot at Kirkland and Greg Lloyd. There's no attitude on this defense, and I don't really know that there has been consistently, maybe since Joey Porter left, to be quite honest with you. We know what Troy can do, and we know what Lamar and some of these guys can do. And even James Harrison, I mean, yes, he's got some attitude about him, the way he carries himself and just the ferocious nature of the way he plays. But you know, I'm sorry, but if Larry Foote's the guy yelling and screaming and talking, and I'm the other team, I'm just kind of laughing. You know, no disrespect to Larry, but Larry doesn't exactly strike me as a guy who I'm worried about, you know, laying me out or anything like that. You know, I see a guy over there like a James Harrison who's talking, or in the old days, a Joey Porter, who the gums were constantly going, whether you like that stuff or not. Fact of the matter is, he got in your head, and he messed with you. And we don't have that attitude. There's none of that. There's just none of that. There's nobody that's stepping on the situation, much like the way Foote and Woodley, they do that little cigarette stomp or whatever they do after a sack. You know, somebody needs to do that and just say, damn it all, you know, enough's enough. Somebody make a play. I mean, did they not watch the Raiders defense? I mean, you got these guys out there running around. I don't even know what their names are. And they're stripping the ball. They're trying to punch the ball out all the time. They're not worried about going for headshots. They're trying to get the ball. And it just obviously gets me a little fired up.
Well, yeah, and I tell you, I mean, that's something else I was thinking about, you know, just last night and watching this team at all. There is no emotion. I mean, you know, when you see James Harrison walk on the field, I mean, that man just has I'm going to kick the living hell out of you, and I'm going to take you and kill everybody you know and not think twice about it. He has that mentality, that attitude that I'm basically going to kick your ass. And, you know, whether you like it or not, or whether you think Harrison is a dirty player or not, I'm not going to debate that because that's just dumb. But, you know, the fact is that he's an intimidator, maybe not so much in how he talks, but he's got the credentials to back it up. And, you know, he's got the history of, you know, big hits, you know, whether you agree with it or not, that, you know, you take what he is seriously. Woodley's got the potential, but he's not a trash talker. I mean, there's been articles in the past that say he's a mean player, and he's not nice. But, I mean, he's not on the level of tenacity or get in your head trash talking that Porter was or Greg Lloyd was or anybody like that. But you're right. This defense right now has no emotion, and with Harrison not in there, it's even less than no emotion. Troy Polamalu, not 100%. You know, he's just not – maybe he'll be back after the bye. I don't know. I'm hoping he will. Kind of think he will. Same with Harrison. But at this point, if they're not, you know, there's no telling how long they're going to be out. And this defense is just – you know, you've got all these big names, you know, and Steeler lore, I mean, Larry Foote's a pretty big name, and Troy Polamalu, Ryan Clark, you know, Brett Kiesel, the Beard, and Big Snack, and you got all these guys who have done so many good things for so long, but the fact is no matter how much you love them, they're getting old. And, well, you know, they are.
And Brett Kiesel, I mean, I love the personality, I love the guy he is. He's been absolutely vacant from the first 3 weeks. I mean, a guy that big, that powerful. I mean, he hasn't gotten close to a quarterback. I thought it was kind of him that didn't get to the gap on the long.
It was him. It was him.
Yeah, on the long McFadden run yesterday. He just doesn't look good to me. Period. And I don't know if it's a health thing, but I mean, any comparisons that anybody would make between him and Aaron Smith, you know, toss them out the window. I mean, it's not even close. In terms of the tenacity and the way that they play. And again, I love the guy. I respect the heck out of him. He kind of made some of himself being, I think, a sixth-round pick. But, you know, right now he just doesn't have it. And as you mentioned earlier, nobody on that line does. Ziggy Hood is slowly turning into a bust. Cam Hayward is another guy. I don't see much of him. I mean, it really is. It's a no-name crew up there, and it's no names because you don't hear their names called.
How much of that Kiesel thing is the fact that Ziggy Hood isn't doing anything and Casey Hampton is still coming back? I mean, I haven't seen enough to say definitively that Kiesel's getting double-teamed enough to where he can't be effective, but I got to imagine that's part of it. You know, I mean, back in the day, you know, when you've got, you know, Aaron Smith over there, you could triple-team Smith, and he's going to hog up your block and allow somebody to go free. So, you know, I'm not going to make an excuse for Kiesel. I mean, he apologized to the fans on his Facebook today saying he screwed up, and he did. You know, he wasn't in the right – he wasn't able to hold his gap – responsibility on that McFadden run. You know, he had that horrible encroachment thing there in the game. So, you know, it's just pretty much the whole defensive line is not getting any pressure. And I think there's too many fans that are just going to say, oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. We're not 100% right now. We don't have Hampton, or excuse me, we don't have Harrison and Polamalu. I'm not convinced that those two coming back, number one, they're not going to be at full speed. Harrison hasn't played it down since January, you know, right, or whenever it was. He hasn't even, I mean, he's done nothing but rehab. And while the guy's got, you know, a set of guns that'll blow your mind, he's not in football shape right now, and I'm sure he'd even tell you that. So, you know, when these guys come back, they're not going to be 100%. You know, we can't just write it off and say, oh, there's plenty of time left. I mean, the stupid Ravens won last night. You know, you've got Cincinnati who was playing well. So right now we're already in a hole going into the bye week. You know, there's just a lot of questions right now. But, you know, and honestly, I don't really have any answers other than maybe it's personnel changes. Maybe you get Kiso out there more and get Hayward in some more and see what happens. It can't be any worse. I mean, it's not exactly, you know, we're not racking up the sacks here on defense or anything. So why not try something else? Secondary-wise, just to touch on that a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let's not do that right now. I want to talk a little bit about Larry Foote because I want to get this in before we end the show here. I was talking to you before we got on the air about that comment that supposedly, now I don't know for sure, but supposedly that Larry Foote to one of the told one of the replacement officials to go kill himself yesterday after the game. I put an article up in the forums. You can read it all. But basically, it was a sense where it was an article on Deadspin where one of the reporters was you know, camped out after the game, ready to go in and talk to the players, you know, like they always do.
Yep, yep.
And apparently on when Foote was on his way in, you know, somebody heard somebody say to tell one of the replacement officials to go kill themselves. And when they turned around, Foote was walking in the door. Now, Foote was pretty pissed off yesterday. There was a play in question where Ziggy Hood, I believe, got chopped at the knees and was injured. You know, we'll have to see how that pans out when Tomlin's report on Tuesday. But he was clearly not happy. Obviously, the scab refs stink. They're just terrible. But, yeah, that's going to really do some damage. I mean, if it actually is true and he said it, that's some pretty rough stuff, according to Lord Goodell, if you ask me.
Oh yeah, he'll get a fine for that. You can't talk like that these days, and especially with Goodell, you know, essentially protecting these replacement officials as much as he has. I mean, there's quite a shield around them. You know, and the chop block was featured today on ESPN as a number of calls that officials missed, and it was blatant.
I mean,
it was a blatant chop block, and you saw Hood gesture over to the Raiders huddle at one point as he limped off the field, and you know, you just don't do that. I mean, these guys want to talk about, you know, they're warriors, but they respect each other and they're not out to hurt each other. You know, purposefully and stuff, and that is a purposeful type hit. Just as the guy hit Ben in the knee on the play where he got up limping.
Yep.
I mean, there's no need for that. And you know, certainly I'm sure somebody could call me into question, what about Bonoloff when he hit Palmer? And you know, different situation. I mean, he you know, very different situation there. But you know, be that as it may, Larry Foote cannot say the things that he said. I understand his frustration. He had every right to be frustrated. You know, I think he's really taken on the leadership role of that defense since James Ferrier left, and he's feeling it. He's feeling the pressure. And you know, if Sly Sylvester were healthy, maybe he'd be in there too. I don't know, but you know, and you're right about changes. Do you mix this defensive line up a little bit? I don't know. Like you said, something, anything. It's got to be better than what we've seen.
Yeah, and I tell you, one of the most controversial plays of all of Sunday's games this past weekend was obviously the Ryan Mundy hit on Darius Hayward Bay. I was watching the game, and you know, I saw the hit, of course, go down like everybody else. So I paused my DVR, got my phone out, and then rewound it and videoed it, put it up on YouTube. It's got several hundred views today so far. Lots of comments, bunch of Steeler haters, some Raider fans, blah blah blah. People going back and forth. It's actually gotten quite a stir. But yeah, if you go on YouTube, you can search Ryan Mundy hit on Darius Hayward Bay, or just go on the website. We have it on the blog there and whatnot. So check it out. See what you think. I apologize if the camera's a little crooked a couple of times. I was trying to zoom in and whatnot, but you know, I'm no professional videographer, so whatever. But in any event, the hit came down. Everybody blew up, obviously. Mundy's going to get a fine. He knows it. There's no two ways about it. So we're not even going to debate the fact he's going to get one, other than maybe how much. But I tell you, I watched that hit, and there's a debate on the forums about it. Some people think it was malicious. Some people think it was intent. Obviously, you and I have talked to Ryan Monday. He is not a malicious guy. He's very down-to-earth, very gentle, peaceful soul, at least on the phone. But he's a good down-home guy. He's not going to go out and try and rip somebody's head off, you know, in the way that Ryan Clark used to do. And, of course, that's no disrespect to Clark because I love the way he hits.
Right.
But the fact is that, you know, what it amazes me is so many people watch the same play and they interpret it differently. I don't understand. I mean, maybe you and I disagree. I don't know. But when I'm watching that, first of all, the ball was thrown a second too late, which, you know, if it's thrown a second earlier, then that's a touchdown, and we're not even talking about this.
Well, that's true.
You know,
I can agree with that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's neither here nor there, but that was part of it. And the other thing was, I'm watching Ryan Monday. His arms are out. His head is looking at the target. He's aiming for the chest to separate the ball. Darius Hayward Bay pulls a Muhammad Massaquah, puts his head down, you know, just a knee-jerk gut reaction when you know you're going to get clobbered. And then, of course, the helmets hit. And it was more of an uppercut. You know, Monday planted his head into the upper chest. But, of course, you know, it caught the helmet in the chin of Bay, knocked him out before he hit the ground. They carted him off. He's in the hospital last night. He was out today. He's home. I think they said he has a concussion in the neck sprain, but he'll make a full recovery. But where are people getting off saying that this hit was malicious in any way? I mean, how? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It was not meant to injure. It was a football play. You've got guys going 100 miles a minute. These things happen. You're never going to truly get all the violence out of the game. You know, I agree with you. I thought Monday was taking an excellent angle right at his chest, being literally doing what he's taught to be doing. You know, basically put the face mask, not the crown of the helmet, the face mask into the player's chest. And because Hayward Bay's, you know, chin comes down ever so slightly, it looks like he's trying to crown him, basically get the crown of the helmet right up under the chin for the knockout blow. Now, anybody can interpret that any way they want to. That's up to them. I understand, especially if you are a fan of the Raiders, you might see it as dirty, whatnot. But there was no intent there whatsoever. I see intent as a guy that pulls a Chuck Bednarik and pulls the clothesline out on Frank Gifford. You know,
yep.
That's a play of intent. This was not. He'll still be fine because the helmets made contact. But, you know, here's the larger issue. The commissioner has established this problem. Okay? He's talked so much about player safety, and we all know why, because of the lawsuits. All right? But the fact of the matter is, and I think it was Ryan Clark that said this at some point last season, you know, okay, you don't want us to go at the head, but then we're told in meetings we're not supposed to, you know, take a guy's knees out either. It's like, well, where am I supposed to hit a guy anymore? Where can I make a tackle that is legal in your eyes? And furthermore, on this whole player safety thing, you know, Ed Reed got lit up last night, I think, for a penalty, and he's probably going to get a fine. And again, his play was kind of borderline. But here's player safety, and I can't believe I'm defending the Ravens here, but...
Ugh.
Yeah, they played last night, okay, and they're going to turn around and play on Thursday night. You tell me how that's in the best interest of NFL football players to have guys going at it in a huge rivalry game that they had last night, and now they turn around and they're going to play against the Browns on Thursday night, and I don't care how good or bad the Browns are, that's a rivalry game for them too. That's not player safety. And Goodell is just, he's so hypocritical, and he is the guy. I'm surprised that somebody hasn't tried to sue him to say that, you know, the violence in the game is because of him, because these officials are they have no control over the game. And I'll be very honest, the regular officials would make mistakes, but they had the respect of the players. And the players understood that. And that's why you would never have seen Bill Belichick grabbing an official. You'd have never seen another guy chasing the other guy down in that manner that you saw last night in games yesterday. And that's where Goodell is wrong. And I understand you negotiate and there's money, and you certainly can't just pay them whatever they want. You got to negotiate. But the owners have to understand that there's a problem here. And eventually, and I hope I'm wrong, somebody's going to get hurt badly, and it's going to end up being one of these officials. One of these hot-headed players is going to get pissed off, and he's going to go after an official because of a bad call costing the team a game. And then you want to talk about negative publicity? Holy shit. I mean,
yeah, I agree. Well, you know what? Yeah. It's not about the best interest of the players. It's about what's the best interest of the league and their money. I mean, football fans, I mean, we like our Monday night football. We like our Sunday night football. Nobody cares that much about Thursday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday games. I mean, Saturday's college football and, you know, your kid's soccer game. Wednesday night for a lot of people is church. Thursday night is, you know, the day before the weekend, you know, maybe got band practice or something. There's a lot of things going on in people's lives during the week that don't revolve around football. This is not about players' safety or players at anything, because, you know, these players don't want to turn around and play a game 3 days after they just play on Sunday night. I mean, even if you are at home, you know, I mean, that's a rough turnaround. You know, it was bad enough on Thanksgiving week when players did it, or, you know, when teams did it. But now this is all about the TV contracts, and all of a sudden everybody's got to watch their teams during the week because they're not on the Sundays now. And, you know, I'm sure there's people that love Thursday night games. I personally don't like them, but whatever. You know, that's fine. But, yeah, this is not about player safety or player anything. This is about money. It's all about money. This league is money, money, money. $9 billion a year, and, you know, you can't pay the officials what they want. And, you know, and like you said, you can't pay them $1 trillion a year. I get that. And, right. You know, I don't know what they're asking for. I have no idea. But, I mean, you know, these officials like Mike Carey and, you know, Ed Hockley, you know, I'll take a Hockley holding call any day over what I've seen over the last 3 weeks. You know, I really will. I mean, it's bad enough, and you're right. And, you know, I don't want to belabor too much because we're going to wrap up the show here in a second. But you're right. It's going to get to the point where every week it's repeatedly bad calls in every single game. And some of them, you know, are sooner or later somebody's going to get really, really pissed off. And, you know, it's going to turn into something violent where – I mean, you're right. As much as Belichick is not, you know, as a hothead, you know, he's not going to go up and grab, Hockley by the arm and say, listen, because Hockley will lay him out. I mean, at least he could. So, just, you know.
Now that I would like to see.
But, yeah, just the replacement officials, and God love them, they're doing their best, you know, but they're missing so many things. You know, when they make a call, they generally get it pretty much right because they talk about it for 10 minutes. You can't help but get it right. But they're missing so many calls, and it's going to turn ugly. And, you know, the owners, the players, somebody's got to say, look, pay these guys some more money, just get them in here. Because, you know, once you start getting to October, November, December, especially playoff time, man, look out.
Yeah, I have to think this will be settled by then, but I really thought it would be settled by the time the regular season started, so I'm not going to make any predictions. Let me throw this out at you, and I mentioned this earlier today on the trip, shameless plug. if James Harrison is not ready to go against Philadelphia in 2 weeks, when do you make the call and say it's time to shut it down? And bring in somebody else for the roster spot, because what good is he really doing this team by constantly keeping them in limbo? I really don't know. At some point, you have to make a decision.
Well, you know, I don't know. The problem is who's out there right now? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could maybe make a rationalization for it, but this surgery that he had is normally less than a month's recovery time. It's usually about 2 to 3 weeks. And if he would have had the surgery back in June, we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But no, they had to wait until August, and then, we better do it quick here, and then he'll be ready for the regular season. Well, that didn't happen. You know, he's still getting swelling in his knee. You know, if he's not ready to go by the time they start practicing again next week, you know, be it Monday or whenever they go back, because usually Tuesday's a day off.
Right.
But, yeah, if he's not ready to go and practicing by midweek, you're going to have to do something, because Chris Carter doesn't scare anybody. I know he's a rookie. I give him a bit of a pass because he's inexperienced. It's just a fact. But Jason Worlds, dude, spent the whole offseason rehabbing a wrist.
Yep.
You know, showed some flashes last year, but he was hurt half the time. You know, I don't know. You know, but you're right. The fact is, you're right. He's not doing anything sitting on the sidelines, and neither is Polamalu.
No, I think it was a case of had yesterday been a playoff game, I think Troy plays. I think, you know, because it was a game, they probably figured, you know, we'll go out to Oakland, be a tough game, but we'll win. We'll sit Troy. We give him an extra week on the bye, you know, and then he's ready, hopefully, for the rest of the season. But, you know, you're right. Same situation with him, though. If this continues to be a nagging thing, how long is that going to go on? I mean, we at some point, this team has to start looking at the future, and it's certainly we're struggling with our draft picks. So you just got to eventually throw them to the fire and see what they're going to do. I don't know. It could end up being a quick turnaround. Maybe they'll get some things figured out, or we could be in for a hell of a long regular season.
Yeah, you know what, and that's actually a good topic for our show next week, too, is maybe talk about some of the reasons why the scheme is the way it is because of draft picks. So, you know, that'll be something interesting to talk about. Of course, we will preview the next game coming up after the bye. But, yeah, I think that we will wrap up the show. You and I could rant on forever here, but, you know, if we don't shut it down now, we'll probably never shut up. So
yeah, I agree. It's you know, like I said, there's so much more to talk about just in terms of the defense and where it goes from here. But yeah, we do. We have to shut up at some point.
Yeah, so everyone be sure and check out the forums. There's tons of great topics going on. Defense, offense, Roethlisberger, coaching, everything you want to talk about, jump on, you know, join the discussions, you know, start your own thread. Of course, check out the blog. Mark and I are pounding out the articles. Follow us on Twitter, at Steeler Addicts. Follow Steel Dad there, at Steel Dad. Facebook is the official Steeler Addicts. We got tons of cool graphics there, all kinds of cool stuff going on. So, yeah, with that, it's probably time for us to indeed shut up. So, thanks, everyone, for listening to Blitzburg Radio, presented by SteelerAddicts.com.